All right, inshallah, we're going to get started in just about another minute, inshallah. So if everybody wants to kind of make themselves comfortable, obviously the floors, seats are open for everyone, inshallah. We'll get started in just about another minute. All right, inshallah, we'll go ahead and get started. Bismillahi ta'ala. Bismillah, walhamdulillah, assalatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, everybody. Inshallah, you guys are all doing well. Alhamdulillah, inshallah, we are going to be continuing on with our weekly series of soul food on particularly the topic of the journey to Allah, okay? And I just kind of wanted to preface really quickly that this series is not a series that I like to express it. It's not something that is, you know, going to be too technical to the point where like people aren't going to get it. It's going to fly over everyone's heads. It's actually extremely practical and relatable and extremely, extremely relevant for every single person because in everyone's unique life, everyone is on their own journey and their own pathway of understanding who Allah Ta'ala is, right? And this is kind of what makes our religion unique, which is that everyone has their own personal road that they take to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. What our specific series that we're doing this these couple months is going to be helping us in is finding a route, right? Finding a journey, inshallah, and finding a pathway back to Allah Ta'ala, okay? So today's conversation is going to revolve around this chapter in which we're going to converse together, inshallah, of how both paradise and the deeds that you need to get to it are just from Allah's grace, right? And just to kind of refresh everyone's minds, this entire series is about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one time he mentioned that no one will be able to get to Jannah based off of purely their own deeds, okay? And the companions of the Prophet, they're like, well, what does that mean, right? Because obviously we understand that in religion, the more good you do, the better off you are in the hereafter, and the more bad deeds you do, the less of a chance you have to get to heaven. So what do you mean by that? And the Prophet, he says, even I cannot hope to attain Jannah if it isn't for the immense mercy of Allah Ta'ala, right? That if Allah doesn't forgive you, if Allah doesn't have mercy upon you, you cannot solely rely on your own deeds to get to paradise. It's not possible, right? And so, inshallah, we're going to continue on with this, okay? So, the first thing that I'm, inshallah, going to ask everybody, and this is going to be a little bit of like a brain teaser, if you will. When you guys think of the word Jannah, right, or paradise, what comes to mind when I say that specific word? Anyone want to share, inshallah? Who wants to share? When I say the word Jannah, what comes to mind? Everyone should have a thought in their mind. Everyone has, like, you know when people say, like, don't think about an elephant? The first thing you think of is an elephant. Like, it's, like, in your head, pop, right there. So when I say the word Jannah, what's the first thing that comes to your head? Anybody? And all these, like, hopeless people, they're like, no Jannah for me. I'm like, come on, guys, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of the word Jannah? Come on. Freedom? Good. Beautiful. What else? Peace. Okay. Very good. What else? Sorry, there was like two of them. Sorry. Garden. Okay, good. Very good. Final destination. Inshallah, the opposite of what that movie's all about, right? So, good, right? Alhamdulillah. So, Jannah, you think of like these kind of descriptive ways these descriptive images in your head, right? You think of a garden, right? I always think of, whenever I think of Jannah, I always think of like this beautiful lush green meadow, right? There's like some beautiful streams kind of passing through it. Every cloud has like a beautiful shape to it, right? It's almost like this like beautiful imagery that you can think of in your head. And so Allah, he asks, and the reason why, by the way, he gives you so many descriptions is because he wants you to think about it. He wants you to ponder over how beautiful it's going to be, right? And this is one of the most beautiful ideas about our deen, which is Allah is not this God that wants you to be afraid of the hellfire and you should never go near. Yes, there is that concept of like, yes, hellfire exists. We all understand that. Because if a person doesn't understand that hellfire exists, you're not going to be able to appreciate the opposite of it, right? And an evidence and a proof of this is that not everyone will wake up every single day and be completely motivated to go to work or go to school. Sometimes your motivation is the fear of failing. You guys agree with that, right? Sometimes, like, there will be days, and you know this whole, like, weird TikTok movement where, like, people are trying to, like, epitomize what it's like to have, like, this job that you love and this world that you love and this lifestyle that you love. There will inevitably be days in your life where you're not going to like your life. And that's fine. No human being is asked or expected to be this like incredibly happy, like Mary Poppins human being every single moment they wake up. There are going to be days in your life where you will struggle. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is why hellfire exists, because sometimes, like when I asked that first question, what do you guys think of when you think about Jannah? Everyone automatically thinks about the opposite. They're like, hellfire, oh my God, it's scary. I don't want to go there, right? That's what Jannah is for me. But then when you start to really think about it, you start realizing that, oh, wait a second, there is this image of Jannah in my head, right? I do look forward to certain things. There is this optimistic part of me, right? And so what Allah mentions in the Quran, and this is so beautiful, right? The verse that's up on the screen right there for you guys, Allah Ta'ala, he says, Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana li hadha wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. He says, praise be to Allah, Alhamdulillah alladhi. All praise is due to God. He is the one who guided us. Alladhi hadana li hadha. He's the one that guided us to this, right? Guys, I want you guys to think about something. You wouldn't even know what paradise is if it wasn't for Allah. You wouldn't have the ability to even think abstractly if it wasn't for Allah, right? You wouldn't have the knowledge of certain things if it wasn't for Allah. You know, there's a very interesting narration that actually shares that, you know, we talked about the word Alhamdulillah last week. There's a narration that shares that Jibreel alayhi salam was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach Adam the word Alhamdulillah, or the phrase Alhamdulillah. Because that was the only word that encompassed how Adam alayhi salam could thank Allah for everything he was given. And that was like the catchphrase of last week, right? You guys remember this. We talked about this, that there are some blessings in your life that are so immense, that are so great, that you will not be able to think of any way to repay Allah besides saying, Alhamdulillah. I'm happy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me this. This is the only way that I can thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And so inshallah, I want everyone to kind of imagine this, that one of the greatest forms of gratitude to Allah is in fact saying Alhamdulillah that Allah guided me to this idea of Islam, right? Man, like, and you know, the ironic thing, the funny thing is, a lot of times in life, you don't really realize what you have until it's, what's the famous catchphrase? Until it's gone. Exactly. And then people tell themselves, oh man, like, I wish. I would have, I could have, I should have, right? Like that woulda, coulda, shoulda phrase. Oh man, like it's too late now. That person's no longer in my life. You know, one of the wisest of people, they always say, don't give yourself a chance to say that I wish I could have or I wish I would have, right? Don't live life with like these types of regrets, because you should live a life where you acknowledge your blessings in the present. Because once those blessings are gone, we talked about this last week, the Prophet ﷺ, he gave us that famous advice. He said, take advantage of five things before they leave you, right? Take advantage of your wealth before your poverty. Take advantage of your youth before your old age. Take advantage of your health before your sickness. Take advantage of your life before your death, right? take advantage of these things, because when those things inevitably happen in your life, and eventually you'll get old, eventually you will lose some money, eventually you will pass away, eventually you will get sick. And when those things happen to you, then and only then will some people realize, like, oh man, I should have really like been happy about the fact that I could get up in the morning and like not have like pain in my body. Oh man, like I should have taken advantage of the time where my bank account had like few more dollars in it. I wish I had taken advantage of the time in which, right, I was younger and I had more free time, right? That's one of the things he mentioned, is take advantage of your free time before you get busy. How many of y'all, as you have gotten busier in your life, do you now realize, like, oh my God, like, why did I take fat 4-hour naps? Like, now I would cry if I got to sleep for like 30 minutes during the day. And now I think about like my jungly 15-year-old self, and I think about how much time I had. I used to be up at like 3 a.m. eating popsicles out of my parents' fridge. Like, that's my life. That's what I used to do. I can't believe that I didn't take advantage of that stuff, man. So the prophet says, don't live a life of that regret, okay? And so now we move on a little bit, and we're going to talk, inshallah, about more of how one cannot rely on their own deeds to attain paradise, right? So the Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, he says, after they acknowledged that it was through the favor of Allah that they were granted paradise, and that it was through his favor that they were that they granted the accord to enact the means leading to it. So check this out. This is kind of trippy. So Ibn Rajab, he says that when you think about it, Allah is your means to paradise, and the deeds that Allah gave you to do are also the means leading to that paradise, right? Like, what are the things? How many of you guys, like, just blurt it out. What are the things that you need, or what are the acts that you need to do in order to get to paradise? Someone. Pray. Good. What else? Charity. Fast. What else? What else? Come on. Hajj. Good. What else? What else do we need to do? Come on. Zakat. Okay, good. What else? Come on, guys. There's more. Sorry? Good manners. Good. Very, very good. Dua, right? God consciousness. So Ibn Rajab, he says, isn't it a blessing? Isn't it something to thank Allah for that you even know how to pray? Don't you think it's magnificent that Allah not only gave you knowledge of the treasure, but he gave you a map leading right to it? Imagine if Allah Ta'ala was like, all right, so there's like this elaborate garden. After you die, you have a chance to get to it. It's going to be beautiful meadows, gardens, rivers, streams, all that stuff. Good luck, right? What if that was what he did? What if Allah just told you about paradise and hellfire and he said, hey guys, figure it out. Just try your best, right? Like that super vague, you know, when a lot of people say a lot of things but they really don't say anything, okay? So Allah not only gave you the idea of Jannah, but Allah told you how to get there. That's one of the greatest blessings, right? And this is why he brings about this particular verse. He says, أَنْتِلْكُمُ الْجَنَّةُ أُرِثْتُمُوهَا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. He says, behold, this garden you will be made to inherit for what you did. Guys, what's an inheritance? Anyone know? Y'all are way too young to know what inheritance is, but what's an inheritance? Passed down. It's a dua. Y'all should be begging for inheritance. So it's passed down. Okay, good. So it's money that's in essence passed down from a person who intended for you to get it, right? Or wealth or whatever it may be. So Allah says, check this out. Paradise, you are owed paradise. It's an inheritance. In fact, it's no one else's inheritance but your own. You are the one who will actually earn it. And how will you earn it? Bima kuntum ta'amalun. By what you have done. So remember how I told you guys last week that Allah in a lot of ways is so nice the way he speaks to us in the Quran? Like, Allah does not need to give you all these formulas to get to paradise. Allah doesn't need to tell you to pray 5 times a day. Allah doesn't need to tell you that charity is good for you. Allah doesn't need to do any of that. Allah doesn't need to do anything. That's like literally one of the definitions of what Allah is, that he is free of need, right? But with that, Allah continues to tell you, well, no, this is what's going to get you there. This is what you want. Trust me, this is something that you're going to want after you pass away, right? And so the scholars, and they say that this is one of the reasons, and check this out. How many of you guys feel that a lot of times religion is like a lot about your mentality? It's the way that you think about it, right? And this is, and you want a proof of this? A proof of this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned that I am as my servant thinks of me, right? And I want you guys to think about this. And this is why I asked you guys, what do you think of Jannah? Now, when I say, what do you think of Allah, what comes to your mind? Anyone? What comes to your mind when you think of the word Allah? Merciful, okay. What else? Loving, good. What else? What else, guys? When you think of Allah, what comes to your head? Forgiving, good. What else, guys? Bismillah, go ahead. Guidance, okay. Good. What else? Creator of everything. Very good, right? So Allah says, I am what my servant thinks of me. However much hope they have in me, that's however much good that they will get from me in return, right? You hope and dream and almost like the just have this amazing aspiration that Allah is all merciful, you will receive his mercy because you hoped in that, right? And so this is why he says that some of the really pious people, they used to say, my Lord, they say when a servant commits a sin, right? And all of us make mistakes. Every single person in here, I can guarantee you, every single person in here has done things today that they're not proud of. Y'all feel me? Everyone agree with this statement? And if you don't think that's true, then you don't really understand what it means to be a human being yet, right? Every day there are things that we're like, oh man, I wish I could have done that better. You guys agree with that? Even if it comes to like lunchtime, you're like, oh man, that sandwich was like definitely didn't hit the spot. Wish I could have done that better, right? There's always things that you feel you could have done better. So he says that every time a servant commits a sin and says, oh Allah, my Lord, you decreed this for me, Allah will say, you are the only one who sinned and disobeyed me. Don't blame it on me, okay? But check this out. He says that when a believer, a servant says, oh Allah, I made a mistake and I actually messed up myself, Allah will respond by saying, I decreed this upon you and I will forgive you. Do you see that mentality shift? I'll give you an easy example to follow. You know what this means? This is like the example of when you fail an exam and you go up to your teacher and you tell them, hey man, why'd you fail me? Like, why'd you fail me? Like, why'd you give me an F? Why'd you give me a D? And that teacher will tell you, first of all, this dude arrogant as anything. Number two is, nah, man, you earned this. You earned this, right? But then there's another type of person where they go up to their teacher and they say, hey, I'm really, really not happy with how I did on this exam. I didn't do well at all. Is there anything that I can do? And that teacher will tell you, it's okay. I know that exam was hard. I got you. Here's some extra credit. Do you see the difference? Now, I want you guys to think about how you think of Allah. When we approach Allah, are we like, oh, Allah, man, why did you put me in this position in my life? Why did you do this? Why did you do that? You know those people that blame God for literally everything? Like, why does God allow poverty? Why does God allow homelessness? Why does God allow this? Why does God allow hunger? You know one of the greatest answers I've ever heard to this question, why does God allow poverty? God has made plenty of food on this planet. Don't you guys think that there's a surplus of food on this planet? If you don't believe me, y'all ever been to a buffet ever in your life? A Muslim should just feel like some sort of like unease when they go to a buffet at nighttime. Like when you're leaving, there's like three other people there. You're like, there's food enough to feed an entire village in Pakistan right here. Like, what's going to happen to all this food? What happens? It's gone. Gets chucked in the trash. So do you really think that Allah has not given this planet enough food? No. You just chose not to give people food yourself. Don't project on Allah. You know, people that project their feelings towards other people, like they're jealous, but they look at somebody like, you jealous. Like, no, you got it wrong. You're the one that's actually jealous, right? Don't project your feelings on other people. Don't project your feelings on Allah. So he says that when it comes to Allah, don't think of Allah as one that makes you sin, makes you err, makes you make mistakes. No. You have a level of control in your life as well. You could have easily turned away from that thing that you looked at the other day. You could have easily said no when it came to the opportunity to lie. You could have easily decided not to cheat on an exam that you cheated on. Allah did not grab your hand miraculously and send Jibreel alayhi salam and say, hey, make that guy cheat on his calculus exam. No, Allah didn't send Jibreel to do that. You chose to do that on your own accord. So the lesson here is, when you do mess up, have the integrity and the accountability to at least say to Allah, oh Allah, I messed up. And when you do that, Ibn Rajab, he says, miraculous things will start happening in your life. How many of you guys have ever apologized very sincerely and your heart became like peaceful after that apology? Right? Let's just think about that. Because it's not easy to apologize, because a human being thinks of like the many things that could go wrong after that apology, right? Oh my gosh, like they're gonna know that I messed up. Oh gosh, they're gonna now know that like I did something wrong. Oh my gosh, like they're always gonna look down on me because they know that I needed to apologize to them. But then you finally like grew enough of, you know, thick skin, and also you kind of grew that courage to say I'm sorry, and you realize so much stress was taken away from your life. Now check the inverse of this. How many of us have ever experienced withholding apologies from somebody? Not apologizing, holding a grudge. And I honestly ask you, did that make your situation better? Yeah, sure. Maybe your ego was preserved because you decided not to say, I'm sorry. But how much harder did that make your life? You went to sleep at night festering this ill will towards somebody else. You went to sleep at night like just kind of thinking and sulking over this particular situation. You are the one that suffered. So when it comes to Allah, one of the greatest things that a person can do is understand that I got to start my journey of being able to say sorry to Allah, right? And so now we get to this particular point here, okay? Now, and this is going to blow y'all's mind, inshallah, as we go through this, all right? Who wants to read this? Can anyone read this? Bismillah? Can someone take a shot of this? It's English. Don't worry, guys. College level, right? Bismillah, go ahead. Yeah, Jalla Thana, yeah. But your actions alone will not save any of you. Actions alone will not cause one to enter paradise. Can be further understood when it is realized that the reward of good deeds, multiplied manifold, only comes about by the beneficence of and grace of Allah, mighty. Okay, pause. Check this out. Y'all in Islam, have you guys ever witnessed those like days of reward that almost make no sense to you? And what I mean by that is like, it's almost like a cheat code. Y'all ever witnessed those days? Give me an example. Somebody give me an example. What's like a day or like an opportunity in Islam where like you're taught that like you will get so much more than what you are actually doing right now? Like Allah will multiply it. Give me an example. Somebody give me something. Ramadan. Very good. Ramadan is a great example of that, right? Good. Somebody else. Give me something else. Sorry? Arafah, right? We just, you know, went through it just a couple months ago. Arafah. If you fast on Arafah on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, what happens? What's the promise? All of your previous and next year's sins are forgiven. Does that make sense to y'all? It shouldn't. Because it's not fair. Like, I want you guys to think about that. That's not fair. Imagine if the opposite was true. Allah's like, yeah, you know what? If you sin on this particular Wednesday, you're gonna get sin for the past year and the coming year forward, right? You're like, wait a second. It's just one day. I make mistakes every day. Why does one day define my past sins and my future sins? But guess what? We don't complain when Allah gives us the opposite of it. We ever think of that? No one's ever been like, no one ever goes to the day of Arafah and they're like, hold on a second, Allah. This seems a little bit unfair to me. Everyone they hear about their past sins and their years coming sins, like being forgiven, they're like, don't, you know, like that guy, you're like, when the teacher like misses like that assignment that they assigned you and like they forgot to collect it at the end of the day, and every student's like looking at that one narc in the classroom, like, you better not open your mouth, right? You better let this thing fly. They may have forgotten. No. Allah intended for that. Can I share one thing with you guys that's going to probably like just, you know, put this into perspective? When the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he had a very famous story in his life, right? There was a very famous circumstance of his life. It was called the Isra wal Mi'raj, okay? He basically went from, anyone know, from where to where? From Mecca to Jerusalem, right? And from Jerusalem to?
Heaven.
Very good. This is one of the most miraculous moments in the Prophet's life, all right? So when the Prophet was in the heavens with Allah, I know, hard for us to comprehend how this like happened. When the Prophet was with Allah in the heavens, it is said that the Prophet was given a particular ruling in our deen. Particular ruling in our deen. Okay, check this out. The ruling was that a good deed would be written for the person who intends to do a good deed, even if they don't do it. Okay? So say, for example, let's say Sister Khadija, right? Khadija wants to, like, donate $100 to charity this week, right? She saved up, like, she's a college student, she's broke. May Allah heal her, right? She saves up $100 and she intends to give it into charity. She leaves the house, right, with full intent that that $100 bill is in her possession. She gets to that charity box and she opens up her purse or her wallet and she looks inside and moths fly out, right? She's back to being broke, I'm just kidding. She opens it and she doesn't realize that she actually forgot that $100 bill at home. What this teaches us is that even if she did not give that $100 right then and there, Allah could have possibly still given her the reward for it. She didn't even do the action, y'all. She didn't even get to do the actual act. But Allah has given her that reward, okay? And then he says, also, the good deed that was performed would be registered for the person who performs it at least 10 times the actual value of that one deed. So you're sitting there and you're like saying assalamu alaikum to a Muslim brother or sister, right? This is a good deed. And Allah will reward you 10 times over for that one small statement. And he says, for some people, Allah will multiply the reward of their deeds even more than 700 times. Now we're talking like crazy numbers. like almost like nonsensical number. And then he says, additionally, if a person performs a bad deed, it is registered for him as one bad deed. Allah will get nowhere near multiplying bad deeds. Yet, for he who or she who inclines towards committing the bad deed and doesn't follow through with it because they refrained from it, a good deed will be registered for them in that place. So when you do a good deed and you don't get to do it, Allah still gives you the reward for it. If you intend to do a bad deed and you don't follow through with it, Allah doesn't not just give you that bad deed, but he replaces that bad deed with a good deed. Y'all know what that's called? That's called a cheat code. Like, literally. Anybody have, like, younger siblings or, like, nieces, nephews in your families? You know, like, when you're playing games with them, you almost have to, like, pretend that you're struggling? You could whack that kid's, like, shot out of this ballpark if you wanted to. I know Taymor's laughing around now because he's definitely done it before, right? He's playing with his, like, five-year-old nephew. Inshallah, like every other Muslim boy, plans to become an NBA superstar even though they maxed out at the height of 5'10", right? And he's playing with him in the driveway. And you're like, oh, man, like, oh, you're beating me. Oh, you're so good. My subhanAllah, right? Like, Steph Curry's got nothing on you, man. Even though you know that as soon as that kid puts up that shot, you can slam that thing down to Grand Prairie if you wanted to. For all the people that lives in Grand Prairie, may Allah Ta'ala relieve you of your pain of driving so far every single day, okay? Ameen. Everyone say ameen. Come on, guys. All right, good. Alhamdulillah. So Allah says here that, look, I'm literally spoon-feeding you Jannah. I'm trying to make it hard for you to fail. I don't want you to fail. I'm making the path to Jannah, like, so easy. Like, the highway is, like, 8 lanes wide. The pathway to Jahannam or the pathway to, like, my disappointment is like this tiny, narrow back road. It's hard for you to hit that back road, but how easy is it to drive in an 8-lane open highway? You just have to ask yourself the question, how bad do I want it? How bad do I really want Jannah? Okay? And inshallah, we don't have too much time, but we'll end with this, inshallah. Okay? There is this concept that, you know, the pathway to paradise, the journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes we understand that there will be moments of trial, right? And there will be moments, just as Allah ta'ala has made your route easy for you, there will also be moments in which our ill manner and ill behavior will also have a negative influence on us, okay? So there's this particular hadith that Ibn Rajab, he actually involves in this particular point that he made, okay? So he says here that the Prophet ﷺ, one time, he asked his companion, he says, do you know a person who is like bankrupt, right? A person who is void of any sort of wealth. And the companions, they respond, a bankrupt person is a person amongst us, is a person who neither has a dirham with him nor any form of wealth, like broke, straight broke, right? And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, the bankrupt person of my ummah, of my people who call themselves Muslim, are people who would be, who comes to the day of judgment with prayers, with fasts, with zakah, with sadaqah. If you look at it on their record, they seem like they did everything right. They used to pray, they used to fast Ramadan, all the obligatories they used to do. But they hurled abuse upon people. They brought trouble against people. They consumed unlawfully. They shed the blood of other people. And think about this, subhanAllah, like, don't just think of physical blood, guys. Think of like when people slander other people. You're taking shots at people, even if it's like quietly, right? So the Prophet, he says, so his good deeds would actually be credited to the deeds of the people that he harmed. So think about this. It's not just like this easy math equation where you're like, yeah, you know what? I did more good deeds than bad deeds. How do you know that all the good deeds that you did, some of them will not be taken, that will actually not count for you because they will be given to the person that you wronged in the dunya? Imagine going up on the day of judgment and you see around you a group of people that you wronged in your life. And one by one, Allah takes every prayer that you prayed, every prayer that you prayed, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, Fajr. One by one, he just plucks them from your account and he drops them into their account. And you're going to look at that situation in horror. And you're going to say, Allah, why would you do that? Those are mine. I earned those. And Allah will say, well, during those days, didn't you also talk bad about this person? And at that moment, we're not going to have any words to respond. And Allah will say, well, this is why they deserve your good deeds. You don't deserve to keep them. Good deeds aren't just like form of like monetary like value. They're not wealth. Good deeds are a privilege, man. Good deeds will vouch for you on the day of judgment. They will be animate. I want you guys to think about that. Good deeds will be animate on the day of judgment. Every salah that you prayed will speak on your behalf. They will say, check this out. Bilal, Muhammad, Ahmed, Aisha, Khadija, Hassan. You know, they prayed. And I'm the one that they prayed. Dhuhr salah will speak on your behalf. I'm the one that they prayed. But this person also did terrible things to other people after they prayed. Allah, I'd rather be with another person. Okay? And then the Prophet, he says, and if his good deeds fall short to clear the account, check this out, their sins would be added to his and he would be thrown into the fire. This is the scariest part. Like the Prophet saying, if all your good deeds run out, like you are a person who harmed so many other people in your life, so that Allah plucked all your good deeds and gave it to other people, and now your good deed account has run completely dry, but you still have abuses that you actually committed against people, Allah will now take the sins of the person that you abused and he will put it into your account. Now, if that's not one of the most terrifying things that I've ever heard in my life, I don't know what it is. You can just sit there and do nothing, And because of the way that you handled your relationships with people, Allah will take away your good deeds and give it to them. And when those are dry, Allah will take their bad deeds and give it to you. And your account will look completely different from when you started on that day of judgment. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. Inshallah, we are going to end with that and pick up next. Actually, you know what? We'll do one last statement, and then inshallah we will conclude. We'll end with this inshallah, particular one. Ibn Uyayna, this is a very famous scholar, he said that, we'll talk about this one. Ibn Yazid, he says that the severe reckoning is that which contains no pardoning, and the easy judgment is that in which one's sins are forgiven and good deeds are accepted. So when you think about the day of judgment, a successful day of judgment is not just you winning like a mathematical equation battle where you think of that scale and your scales are now heavier and that's why you got into paradise. That's not what the day of judgment is. He says that the day of judgment will be one in which severity is manifested through which contains no pardoning. That's what severity on the day of judgment is. And an easy judgment on the day of judgment is not just you like getting more good deeds and bad deeds. An easy day of judgment is one in which one's sins are forgiven and good deeds are accepted. And so even when Allah talks about deeds, He doesn't talk about just if you did them or not. What word does He use? What did Ibn Yazid say? If good deeds are accepted. There's a difference. It's not just about doing them. It's about having qubuliyah. Your deeds being accepted by Allah. A lot of people can do amazing deeds, y'all. But behind closed doors, those deeds could have come from the worst intention. Somebody can memorize Quran, beautiful deed, amazing deed. But the entire reason they memorize Quran is so that they can belittle other people around them. Somebody could give $1 million in charity. And the only reason they gave charity is so everyone around them can say, oh wow, mashallah, what a generous person. That's the only reason they gave. And so this is why we should always, always, always ask Allah to purify every deed that you ever committed. Every good deed that you did, ask Allah to purify it. It may have become dirty because our intentions are really, really strange sometimes, right? So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of the people who are pure. All right. We ask Allah Ta'ala to accept. We ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to forgive us. And we ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to allow these sessions to bring us closer to Him. And we ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to make us of the people who enter Jannah because we have earned the forgiveness of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullahu khairan, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you guys. Inshallah, we will see you all next Thursday. Assalamu alaikum, y'all.